and welcome to episode 279 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, writer of MI666, and joining me this week are the creator of Viper, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the other son of Zeus that doesn't get mentioned as much as the others.
Munchin'd.
It's Tony Esmond.
Do you know what, get his fair share of Munchin's.
Yeah, I've had the old munch, my friend.
Normally, we would redo the intro, and you'd probably hear it in the outtakes how we messed it up before. But we're just going to leave it in this week because it's that kind of week. And
I think you need to include my meltdown that I had about 2 minutes ago.
Yes,
in the outtake.
Yes, it's a beautiful meltdown. You won't see all the bits because it might be spoilers for a little little thing we're working on in time for Thought Bubble this weekend.
Yes, very excited.
Yes, and it's just the three amigos this week. There's no guests. Because you're all too busy looking forward to Thought Bubble Weekend, which is kicking off now, as we speak. 9th of November. It's all started, and it's going to be a fantastic week and weekend. We're looking forward to it.
It's a shame it's online, but we're making the most of it, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the one weekend that Dan always said that's where he does most of his boning, is at the Thought Bubble, isn't it?
He's never there.
I'm never usually there, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So true, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, no worries.
Yep. But, yeah, so we're looking forward to that. We've gone a little bit dizzy this week. There's no guests, it's just us, thank God, because they probably would have left before we even start recording this week with all the nonsense we've been talking for the first bit. We've tried to be professional and get our ducks in a row in time for the Thought Bubble weekend and all the exciting stuff that we will have for you. But you're going to know a bit more about that anyway later, especially with certain Kickstarters and things like that. So there's plenty to
get. Got our Thought Bubble drinking draw this Friday.
Yes, indeed. This very Friday.
Getting a lot of superstar attention, that, isn't it?
Why wouldn't it? Yeah. And we're even going with the he calls himself the Make-A-Wish Kid, Tom Curry.
Is that what he calls himself?
On the WhatsApp group. Have you noticed that?
Oh, of course it is.
He is the fourth Beatle, and so we're actually sort of being organised. And professional. And
I'm worried, but it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine because we've got someone who knows what they're doing it.
We're
mods.
Yeah.
We're going to host our own little rooms, I think.
Oh, it'd be like Quadrophenia. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of drawing, is it John Ottaway murders us all? Because he is a murderer, we all know that.
There's going to be a sketchbook some point down the road, isn't it?
Oh, I'd love to see that. That just makes me laugh. It's good because John's a big supporter of the small press scene. I think a little bit of a tribute to how he is, in fact, you know, a criminal. It's good.
Are you only a criminal if you get convicted?
No, I think if you actually commit criminal acts, it makes you a criminal. You're just a lucky criminal if you don't get convicted, I think.
I'll tell you what is criminal. How good our sponsor is.
Hell yeah.
Yes, our lovely sponsor is Comic House. I'm quite pleased with that.
That was good, Vince.
Thanks.
Yeah,
they are the indie comic marketplace with a difference. There's a huge selection of titles on the Comic House database. Lots of people from all over the world are putting their stuff on there. If you self-publish yourself, you can list your book on there for free. Start selling your book straight away. They've also got an app, which is brilliant. It's being added to all the time, especially in these days where no matter where you are in the world, there's lockdowns. And when you can't get to your comic book store, digital comics become handier than ever in a lot of ways. And you definitely need to check out Comic House because there's a massive library of comics on there. Like Netflix for comics. Only £3 a month. You get access to such things as Dan. What?
What's on there, Dan?
The Indifferent Engine, Volume 2. The Last Sheriff 6 from the Reckless Hero Boys. Atomic Hercules, Issue 1.
Yes.
Not for the faint of heart, that one. That's a good... New York City Gallows 2. And added today, Vanguard, Issue 18.
Hey, you sent us that earlier as well. That looks brilliant, man. That's
thank you.
The story and the art's great, but the fact you put it together so well like that, like it's a really class act. I wish they'd come out as singles though. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, me too. Someone mentioned that during the week, and it's like I'd love to kind of bang with that as singles. But it'd be like anything. Like the first copy sells loads, and then after that, you get diminishing sales as it goes along.
Yeah, that's the comic model now, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 There's a couple that have broken that, like the story's been so good that they've gained. Invincible, I think, was definitely like that.
Yeah, Invincible and Walking Dead had one of those. The longer it went on, the more popular it became, didn't it? You know, it was a real sort of upturn in sales, which is.
That was years ago, though, man.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I feel like if you build a narrative that keeps moving forward and keeps developing and keeps changing, people are more likely to. This is completely opinionated. I'm not getting any fact to back this up.
Quite but people are more likely to.
Yeah, that's my life. But, you know what I mean? Like, you're more likely to invest in it and kind of keep coming back. If it's a kind of like a soap opera type thing where the situation essentially stays the same, stays the same issue after issue, people maybe drift away. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
What do you think, chaps?
I think consistency. I think if it's got the same artist on and the same creator, I think, and it's it doesn't make it like overly tied into bloody events and all that sort of crap. And I think you can gain followers. I think you can. That's how comics used to exist.
Yeah,
it didn't have to be overly tied into other issues or big events or become overly complicated. I think people will jump on it. Yeah,
And you lot should jump onto Comic House because you can get all of those great comics that Dan just mentioned, including his great work and Tony's great work and lots of other fantastic indie careers that we've
and
had
Vince's
on the show.
Great work.
Yeah,
there's some stuff of mine on there. Yeah.
Also, is MI66 on there, or is that still?
It's not yet, but Stalkerville's on there. So if you want something that is
fantastic,
pretty twisted.
I like Stalkerville.
Oh, thank you.
That made me know that we would get on that book,
which tells you everything you need to know.
You were what do you call it? MySpace famous before you came on to.
What's MySpace famous? Don't fame? No,
the fickle beast.
I was on MySpace.
Yeah.
Before it imploded like a dinosaur.
Vince had a motto on MySpace. It was MySpace, then my place.
That's how you met your missus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Should we just end the episode here? Because I don't think it's going to get any
better. It won't get any better than that.
Yeah. Sorry, Comic House. You can go to comichouse.com, start your 14-day free trial.
You can meet women off Comic House, and, I suppose, can you?
It's not that kind of site. But Pete, if you are looking to expand, please let us know and we'll put a shout out in the sponsorship ad.
ComicReaderDating.com.
Yes, yes. But I will say, with Thought Bubble just around the corner, obviously, you know what these big convention weekends are like. We want to buy everything. And normally, I'd really like to see some nice comic book hauls happening. Like we always do after a convention, whether it be MCM, any of the indie cons.
All the marts.
Yeah, all the marts. There's always the fantastic photos that I love seeing of here's what I picked up on the day. I've done a few myself in the time. And I'd love to see that now. Obviously, with it being through the post, it may be staggered, but I just, you know, I really hope that Thought Bubble still keeps people going, I'm going to buy 10 books this weekend. I'm going to buy 10 new things, or I'm looking forward to that creator. Do you know what I mean? Doing that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I really hope that we see lots of awesome pictures of like comic purchases that you've done. And who knows? You know, maybe we'll have some of those creators on the show in the future. You never know.
Yep.
You never know.
It's always a bit of a grand for us to find new people to get on a show, isn't it?
Totally.
It's always like that.
Yeah. Because there is that the convention sort of mentality as well. When you're walking around, You first sort of circulate with the people you know, don't you? Or the people you're comfortable with. I think also with comics being there's a certain amount of introvert. You know, you're introverted and sometimes it's a bit nerve-wracking going at the people you don't know. So I always catch up with the people I know at a convention every time. But then I'm always sort of looking out for new tables. And because of that, we've discovered a hell of a lot of creators who are now, you know, just flying. They're absolutely flying now. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend as well because we've seen a whole bunch of people that I certainly haven't been aware of their stuff.
I like meeting people at Thought Bubble because you meet them, you do an interview with them, you know, you help them sell their book, and then they just leave you in the dirt, don't they, when they become, you know, proper famous.
Yeah.
I mean, we do come across a hell of a lot of new creators at cons, and you think there can only be so many people in the UK making comic books, but every time I go to a con, I fucking meet loads more.
Yeah, you're right, man. Yeah. Yeah, and Thought Bubble's the place for that, I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
And MCM, to be fair. There's loads of people at MCM I've never seen before.
Yeah. I'm really pissed off. I've dealt with the not going to Thought Bubble this year many months ago. But, yeah. I was really looking forward to going.
Yeah. That was just because we got bunk beds, didn't we, Dan? We were looking forward to...
Oh, you were in that with that lady who gives you a biscuit.
Is that the code?
Yeah.
Yeah. Knock on the door.
You are the biscuit, Dan.
I've got biscuits for you. I've got some more biscuits. Look, have these biscuits.
I'm with someone. Go away.
Yeah. No, Dan.
And that's just Dan going, can I join in?
Dan is the biscuit. Come on, baby.
He's a custard cream.
Time to dunk. Anyway, what we go...
Sorry, American listeners.
Yes. Yeah, well, no, sorry, everyone. If this is your first time listening to the show, you can stop now and go back to some of the past episodes. They're probably a lot better.
I'm still on a bit of an adrenaline rush from shouting at you because I'm trying to read those lines out. You made me read out. Yes. You're still making me laugh. Yeah.
Yes, we've tried to do something that is rare in the history of the ACP. Marketing.
Yeah.
Clem Fandango.
Yeah.
We don't usually ever read from scripts either.
No, we did it that one time. And that went all right that one time because I know that the Avery Hill podcast still puts an advert out for us, very kind of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I quite like that advert. We're just swearing a lot on it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
but what we're talking about, you just have to stay tuned to the awesome pod, social media, etc. And yeah, it'll be everywhere soon enough. God, that makes it sound sordid, doesn't it? Probably will be.
I like it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It's all in the name of comics, and that's what this show is about. So, getting back to some kind of... Oh, God, this could be some people's first episode. Have you thought about that?
Oh. It will be some people's first episode, because I was joined to a couple of people yesterday, and they're going to listen today. Shall I give them a hello? Pressure.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, hello.
So, Ian, who I was on a Skype call or a Zoom call with last night, and Tim, both new listeners. Hello, guys.
Hi, Ian. Hi, Tim.
Hello. Yeah. Hello. Welcome to the Thunderdome. It isn't always like this.
It is. It is always
like this. Who was that friend you mentioned once, Tony? We just mentioned his name through the entire episode.
Oh, was that? I don't know. Was that Chris?
He's never... Oh, Chris. I miss him. yeah. He's not got back to me about it. I'm not
that
sure
was
if
funny.
He liked it or not. It made me laugh. You didn't realise what was happening. You kept mentioning it, thinking it was funny, and then we realised he was actually a real person.
That sounds like this show.
Yeah.
But whether you're a weekly listener or whether you're a new listener,
are we on tour? Is that a good place to put our show?
What do you mean? On what?
Tour.
What the hell's that?
The dark net. We should go on the dark net.
No. I'm not going on anything that sounds like an early 90s horror film. It must be.
There must be a horror film called The Dark Net.
There must be.
There's got to be in there. Yeah, there's got to be.
Yeah. But there's nothing dark about this show. Well, actually, sometimes it does get a little
quite
bit dark.
Quite a lot of dark stuff in the show.
Quite dark, yeah.
Yeah. But
that's
if this...
That's the most untrue thing you've ever said. It's a good segue, though.
Yeah.
It worked. Yeah. I called you on it, but it was going all right.
Yeah. but in the lead up to Thought Bubble, we did actually get some interesting bunch of questions this week.
Mm. Yeah.
Tony, do you want to take it away? Because I think this is obviously this will, as everything on this show, it will hopefully inspire discussion and keep the conversation going. But what are these questions?
Well, shall I start with that commentary that I gave earlier about how I feel at the moment? And we can maybe talk about that for a second.
Okay. Yeah.
The comics internet. This is my interpretation. If I had to make it into a movie. And it was, they used to get those comedy movies, I don't know, Mel Brooks, or, there'd be a fight in a bar. But there's always the one bloke who's either trying to eat a meal or he's trying to drink his pint or something. And every time someone gets rammed across the table in front of him, he lifts his pint up and, continues drinking. And then there's somebody tries to punch him and he ducks and still drinks his pint. And right at the end of it, so there's a fight going on all around him. And right at the end of it, he gets his glass smashed and he doesn't manage to drink his drink. That's how I feel about the comics industry at the moment. Well, that's more specific comics fandom. That's how I feel. Okay. It's just this constant fight that's going on all around us three, and we're just trying to drink our pint and read our comics. So that's my metaphor for the whole of everything at the moment.
Yeah,
we just want to enjoy the comics, and everyone else is just constantly arguing, and the whole place is getting destroyed around us.
There's loads of creators I follow on Twitter. They never talk about their comics.
Yeah, yeah.
Never.
Yeah. And that's not to say that we also don't get, there's sometimes when we get a little bit riled up by...
Fair enough, yeah. I'm as curious as an X-Men.
And we certainly go, oh, have you seen this? It's usually probably one of the big two books, or you know, you fight, or yeah. you get annoyed because a great book gets cancelled or things like that. You know, we've all had those discussions. Away from the pod, we try to keep it positive on this show where we can.
Although this year has been
a tricky year, with so many, you know, whether everything going on in the world or you know, tragic things happening in the world, etc. And making comics has been quite hard this year. So you know, where
that's
you are,
my advice to people, and it's advice that we actually do ourselves is. Don't worry about everyone else fucking going on about whatever they're going to go on about.
Yeah.
Just make comics. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just ignore all that noise. It's nothing to do with comics.
It's really, really easy to get distracted by
anything.
And then that kind of the perpetual noise, it will never stop. And if you start listening to it, it won't go away. Mm. It just distract you.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I've seen a lovely amount of creation and sort
of
art this year, which is wonderful to see. And we've talked about it in the previous probably a couple of months now, the Kickstarter explosion. Well, not just Kickstarter, actually, crowdfunding explosion.
We were talking about the other side of it, weren't we, on the Facebook group this week. And I have to say, brilliant, it just shows the brilliant members of our Facebook group that it didn't become tribal. We had a very sensible discussion about what makes Kickstarter good or what makes it bad, and what makes Indiegogo good and what makes it bad. And it was a very sensible conversation.
It's strange now, because if you said, like, I'm kickstarting your comic, that's sort of a shorthand for kind of, I'm crowdfunding my comic. A bit like the old, I'm hoovering up.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of,
yeah.
It's come associated with it, for good or bad.
Mm.
Yeah.
And obviously with the boom, some people might think that, you know, guaranteed wins these days, but it's not always. It's not always.
You still
need to.
That's
Dan's still riding the wave to success. So
oh, yes. Well done, Dan.
Yeah.
I've mentioned to people that don't really know comics, Kickstarter, my comic, and what's Kickstarter?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
so it's very much kind of like a bubble.
Yeah, very much so. Because there is, and this is something that comics, in a lot of ways, has to be aware of. It has to be aware of its own bubble, because we are a community. We all know it, you know, we all know each other, and everyone's we're I don't know, five shades of bacon or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? Everyone knows that everyone has
50 shades of bacon.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. Like something
that would be
who's that firm we had on a couple of weeks ago, mate, like really gross horror books.
Hellbound. Oh, God.
Hellbound would make 50 Shades of Bacon. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
A romance issue of Slaughterhouse Farm.
Oh, yes. Beautiful. Just in time for Valentine's. But, you know, everyone knows each other. And when you know more and more people in the community, as we do, and lots of people, as soon as they delve into this, and that's one of the things that we love about this community and why so many people get involved in it, is as soon as you dip your toe, there's just an amazing group of people. Like-minded people from all walks of life that are extra supportive, and everyone's helping each other, you know, from all over the world. And very much so, like, you know, there's lots of, you know, I didn't think a few years ago there would be creators in the States and people that we know that follow this show and, you know, support us and vice versa and things like that. And so it's a wonderful community, but that also we have to remember it's a small community, and there's a lot of people who don't know about Kickstarter. There's a lot of people who don't know about crowdfunding. There's a hell of a lot of people that don't read comics, you know.
Yeah, so. I mean, I've had friends put in, mostly for the Springworth book I did, I think, because I think that's the one I felt more comfortable about saying to people who weren't into comics, you know, we're doing this comic for a charity. Mm. And I've had people go, so I've sent them the link, and they've gone and they've done the whole register as a guest, you know, and they've put money in, and they've just donated money because they don't really know how it works. Or later on, they've gone, oh, I never got sent my book. And I said, did you reply to the survey you got sent? And they're like, what's the survey? Right. You know, so, yeah, there's a lot of that going on. I think
is the best way? Because obviously, in order for things to grow, they have to move into markets and new audiences that aren't aware of it. Do you know what I mean?
No.
And so that they have a double take and say, well, you know, out of 1,000 people, if one person goes, hang on, let's click on that link. What is that? That's a win. What is the best way to do that without the, you know, the cold steel of marketing?
The cold, embarrassing cold call shit. Yeah.
Gotta get your product in front of the people who would buy it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, not just being advertised to 100 people, but only 10 people were going to buy it. You want to get your product in front of those 10 people that have an interest in it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So rather than just kind of like spraying everywhere like a fire hose.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand people who do a Kickstarter and then go and do an Indiegogo, because there seems to be two different audiences.
I think it is. We hear that. That's one of the questions. That's one of the reasons I posed that question, because I think I said, is there still a tarnish to it? And without going into the groups of people who use various sides of the world of, you know, crowdfunding, there is a certain tarnish. I've seen people saying, oh, he's on Indiegogo, he's got to be bleepity bleep, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there is that prejudice. But then again, look at some of the stuff that's on Indiegogo and the amount of money it makes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's not, it can't all be bleepity bleep, can it? It can't all be that crowd, because there's all sorts of things going on in Indiegogo. You get bands promoting their work. You get, oh, look, there's a new kind of flask you can buy.
I'm not really comfortable making that generalization.
No, me neither.
Yeah. But, you know, beyond like the comics crowd and stuff, how do you, well, let's face it, we're all selling something. We've all got a product to sell. If you're making a comic, make no bones about it. As soon as you put it out there for the world to see, you want people to look at it. Soon as you've got a, like an Etsy store or anything, it's a product.
Otherwise, you're just giving it to your mum and that's it. Yeah. You know, it's like that, isn't it? Yeah.
So, you know, what do you think is the good way to get it out to these people who don't read comics? And this is always the question, isn't it? How do you get it into the hands of people who don't read comics? There are a lot of people who just won't give it the time of day.
Mm.
But are there certain, I mean, Kickstarter and the crowd, you know, Indiegogo and the crowdfunding have, I think, been helpful, because it's a platform that people go on there, and if it pops up on the homepage, that has certainly sold books to people who don't read comics, probably. I'm sure it's guaranteed, you know.
One of the things when I was promoting the Viper Kickstarter at the start, I had the tiers where you could have yourself as a driver of the car, but it's like a Vector V8 or Vector W8. That's the car I used to model the Viper on.
Yeah.
And posted it in the Outrun subreddit, which has got thousands and thousands of people, and it's all into kind of like 1980s kind of high polished chrome. And someone in there said, I'm part of a user group on Facebook that all about that Vector W8 car.
Okay.
They love it. And it got reposted over there, and some of them came over and backed the tier where they could get drawn as the driver.
That's it. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because it is that, you know, beyond the social media, let's take fucking social media, pardon my French, let's take the Twitters and the Instagrams and stuff like that. You haven't got access to all of that. How do you market these campaigns? How do you market your comic? And I think, like you say, like Dan, I know you know about like subreddits and things like that. You need to know about things like that, don't you?
Reddit's important, man. Reddit is the place.
Yeah, and all the forums, kids, the groups and things where there's people like Dan. You also had like synthwave music. Viper was a lot about that. You know, if there's a different angles to market something, all it needs to do is just turn someone's head for a split second, and that's when your work has to do its job, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, this is the perennial question, isn't it? This is the question that we consider probably each of us weekly in some way or another, is how do we get our work out there? And it's parallel to the old story about how do you get into work at Marvel Comics. And the way that everyone does it is different. And I think that's the thing. I think once you've dug a tunnel into Marvel Comics to get work in there, the tunnel will be dug up and you've got to think of another way to do it. And I think we hear about people doing art fairs. We hear about Reddit. Reddit, I think, is very important because everyone at my work, all the kids talk about Reddit. We hear about people getting on different forums. For example, Mumsnet, for example. I mean, a lot of no-brow books would kill to be on certain forums, certain conversations on Mumsnet, because it's huge.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain Facebook groups. There's certain, you know, there's certain...
You cannot underestimate the power of a parent going, this appropriate for my kid? Or what is a good book for my daughter or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, I try all different things. So VK, I don't know if you know what VK is. VK is the Russian language Facebook. Now, it's grown beyond that. It's Eastern European. There's a lot of Germans on there. There's a lot of Scandinavians on there and stuff like that. So I thought, oh, fuck it. So I put that podcast I do on there. And I got quite a few hits from those countries, you know. Okay. Didn't get loads. No. But I thought, well, may as well. It's free.
Yeah. You know?
So I did that. And there's always something you just got to be keep. You got to keep looking. And as long as you're not an embarrassing knobhead, yeah. You've got to, you know, which is the cringe of it sometimes. It's like, you know, I mean, in my experience, we've said some things on here before and people have suddenly jumped on it and started emailing stuff and it makes my stomach curl up.
Yeah.
But I think as long as you're not that person and you're just looking for a new way to do it, and you're doing it in a good and gentlemanly way of doing it, I think it's fine.
Yeah. You know? I mean, whatever, if your sales tactic works for you, then obviously fair enough, but it's not going to work for everyone.
And yeah,
then,
exactly.
Then you have the people that, depending on your product, we mentioned it a couple of times on the show in the past, I think, like Mike Norton's Battle Pug. He
went to a dog show.
He went to a dog show and had a table booked.
There's a lot of horror conventions people can consider doing. I mean, if I was the marketing editor on Rock the Red, I think I'd probably go and try and get like a free insert into the whichever football club, fan magazine.
Hell,
I think things like that are worth doing.
That'd do really well.
I mean, let's say the horror conventions, Hellbound, they do so many horror conventions, probably, you know, if there's a horror convention, they'll turn up at it because there's a guaranteed audience for what they do, you know.
Yeah, that means music festivals, there's all sorts of things. I know that a lot of music festivals will have like a book tent now. I know Waterstones have got a tent, I can't remember which one it is now. They've got, you know, and they get authors in to do readings and stuff. I think, I mean, you've got to face it. Digital has got to be the way you can sell stuff. And I think giving stuff away for free as well does help. We only mentioned it last week, didn't we, with AWA giving away a free, you know, half of issue one of every issue. And TKO did the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not a bad idea, I think.
Yeah.
Give a little teaser of it on your website.
So much free content out there to not kind of like try and entice people in is, I think, a mistake, a misstep. You want to give rather than just invest in something they have no idea what it is and then they get burnt.
Yeah,
just give them a little flavour. Oh yeah, I like that. I'll get the rest of it.
Yeah, and you know there are the people who then will become collectors of your work. But you know, but also if you got to be careful what you're doing in terms of charging and stuff with like piracy and everything. You know, there's so many people that, I mean, we haven't touched on piracy too much in the world of comics, but I know it's such a major factor for a lot of digital comics that's just crippling a lot of indie books. And like, you know, these Kickstarters are wonderful when you get a digital book, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned it. I think I mentioned it, God, about 6 months ago, is I started using the Telegram desktop app for work and stuff.
Hmm.
And you can just put free Marvel. I mean, don't do it because it's wrong, but you can just put free whatever. And you'll get whatever whatever Marvel comic came out that day, you can get it on.
I've seen the Marvel on DC comics this week, and they have the date, and it's all the comics of that week. You just got like, it's like a mega download or something.
Yeah,
it's like, what are you gonna if someone really wants a digital version of the comic and you're putting it out digitally, they're gonna get it.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's a PDF, they can fucking screen grab every single page of the comic and put it in a PDF.
And it is a Hydra, isn't it? It is. You know, you could stop one thread, but all it takes is one person to have downloaded it, and then it'll go up again. So,
yeah, I think there's a life to a comic as well. I'm quite free and easy with, you know, when lockdown started, I dropped the Hall Chronicles and a couple of other things just free into our Facebook group, free into the Slack group I'm in, just because I thought, I mean, I'm probably not going to sell loads of these. Well, I'm not selling the Silver Surf one at all, but I'm not going to sell many more Hall Chronicles. I might as well just drop them in and people can enjoy them. And
And I think someone when it comes to digital, it speaks to, sorry, Dan, the generosity of comics buyers, I think, because there are people who, you send a link to your Gumroad, you know, one of those pay what you want. I always pay a dollar, two. Do you know what I mean? It's very rarely do I just sort of like, I just want free stuff. I know there's a lot of people who do, but I think on the whole, certainly with the community that we've seen, it's a generous and giving community because we want to.
Buying a comic as a charity is almost, you know, it's like almost like a donation to the creator these days when you think that you can just go and get it for free anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame really when it's become that.
Yeah. I just want the ease of use. Just pay the fee, I get the comic. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. And I don't fuck around about it. I don't think I'm going to get nicked.
And, you know, I think sometimes it's quite demoralizing for a lot of people who obviously spent so much time and effort.
If you're a creator seeing other people's stuff.
Yeah, and then, like, people don't want to spend, like, even a pound for your comic. That's probably why we're seeing more and more fantastic artists and illustrators, you know, more and more commissions, more and more artwork, you know, because
Or if you're doing a comic,
sorry, mate, come.
I say if you're doing a comic and you're backing out with like physical items that are one-offs from, say, from a Kickstarter, you're not going to be able to replicate that by pirating a PDF or whatever.
Yeah, we do like with the last one we did, the Knockout and Tiger Style, we did like a little Ashcan comic. You're not going to get that online. That's the only way you'll get it, and we've finished printing them now. And I think it's but I'm also, mate, I think as well, this I just get sick of, I mean, this is me being sick of social media, so nobody would be surprised, but I just get sick of people saying that they were watching The Mandalorian before it was ever available in the UK and then moaning about fucking comic pirating, and I'm like, what?
Yeah,
there is a bit of blind eye towards like the old it's Disney and then it's a small person, but yeah, I totally get what you mean. It kind of you got to be careful there. Don't be banging that fucking drum and then
That's, I think that's actually a metaphor for the whole of, I think that's a metaphor for the whole of Twitter, though, to be fair, that little do you want to do the Gary Hill question? Gary Hill, our buddy, he wrote in, he said, how'd you go, he's recently started writing stuff, and I think he's had stuff in the 77, I think, that that comic. Nice. Yeah. And he's run a couple of scripts by me, and they're very good, very sort of well thought out and interesting. And he said to me, how'd you go about getting an artist as a writer? So I've obviously done it. Vince, you've done it as purely a writer. Have you done it, Dan, just as purely a writer? I can't think of any examples.
I've only got it as like getting pinups and covers done. I'm not as an interior artist.
I get you. Of course you have. Yeah, yeah. So it counts. So as you were saying, how do you go about getting an artist? It's a funny one, isn't it? It's it used to be when I first started in the late 90s doing my own comic, it used to be that you'd have a buddy who would do it. So you and him would share the costs of printing and you'll get the comic out. And but the world has turned. And whilst that does still go on with you know, a few little companies, Tribute Press, that's how we do it. But It people want paying now.
Yeah,
you'll be lucky if you find somebody who just says they'll do it for free. If they're your mate, they can do it for free. That's up to them.
Yeah,
it's totally up to them.
You've got to be careful with commitment issues if you say you do it for free as well.
Yeah,
because if you're halfway through an issue, and you think, "Oh fuck it, I'm not going to do it anymore."
Yeah, so people will want paying. It could be anything from, I'm going to say, I know of some people who pay 20 quid a page, and I know some people who pay over 100 quid a page. And I've paid over 100 quid a page for one of my books because I really wanted the artists involved. But I've never paid under, I think, 45 quid a page. So there's a real range of what people will offer and what people will accept, I think.
Yeah.
So you got to be going back to the Kickstarter thing. If you wanted to do a 21-page comic book, that's £2,100 straight off the bat before you've even thought about printing it or sending it out or whatever. So you got to be careful in the budget and what you're going to do with your project.
Yeah, and is it going to be an upfront payment? Is it going to be a payment as pages come in, or is it going to be a payment once the Kickstarter money lands? And there's a big difference between all that.
Yeah. I think if you're a writer as well, certainly when you're approaching artists, they've already got it in. They already got an idea in their heads. Certainly, there's a lot of people that I will, you know, if you're going cold to them and they don't know anything about their project, they'll give you a straight up a quote, you know, almost like like a garage or a plumber. It will cost you this much. If you know them a bit more, if you're a bit more personal, then it's, I think it's a bit more backwards and forwards, and you know,
just say to them, I've got a budget. I can't pay you anything more than this. Is that okay? And look, tell them to be honest with you.
And artists will also say that. They will say, what is your budget?
Definitely be upfront and straight about everything. If you're completely upfront about the beginning, it's hard to go for it wrong. And I would say the old say upfront that maybe you do 50%. I always believe I'm paying for when the page is delivered rather than paying upfront.
Yeah, that's what I've started doing, man. Yeah,
because artists, being one myself, is like, if I get the full whack, I've got the full whack. I don't have to fucking go crazy to do the pages. But if I'm getting paid per page, I'm putting my fucking foot down and getting the work done.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that's one size fits all, but I think that works best for me.
Yeah, I've been stung a bit, and I've done done it in a couple of ways. I've paid half up front and been stung. Not badly, but I'm at the point now where, well, this moves on to what we talk about now, is the following question was contracts or gentleman's agreement. And I've never had a formal contract.
No.
But I have had an email agreement.
I think if you state in terms, we're going to do X amount of pages, for X amount of money, and the page is going to be delivered by X date.
Yeah.
And so everyone's understand what the expectations are.
Yeah, I mean, I've signed contracts for work. So I've done it where I've been employed by someone else to write and I've signed a contract and I'm fine by that. But to be fair, it's easier for me, isn't it? If somebody wants a 5-page story at me, I can, you know, I could have done that this morning. It's different for an artist, sometimes, I think.
I think when you're trying to negotiate with an artist or writer to do a project, you kind of want to have a kind of quite a power balance between the two of you and not offset it by going back to what we said, paying all the artist up front, because then the power's all shifted over to their side. They've got all the money. They've got the means to develop the comic and they're holding all the cards at that point. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if you're paying them as they do it, they want to keep going because they've got the money. You want to keep paying them because you want the pages. And for me, that works out a nice little balancing act. Mm. You're all on the same level.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. And then he asks the much bigger question. What's the best way to get something published? And he does it. You follow up by saying, you know, is Kickstarter the easiest way? Well, it is the easiest way. Well, it's not the easiest way. The easiest way is you pay your own money to get it published. Hmm. And then you try and desperately claw back the money from sales. But
what I would really recommend is if you're kind of new to the game, is try and team up with an artist and say, look, we'll go for this anthology, 4 or 5 pages.
Yeah.
And then see how it goes, because you'll learn so much from that first run. Rather than fucking jump into the deep end and try and do it from scratch, just get your feet, your toe wet, and then find your way. I mean, doesn't everyone start on doing
anthologies?
Anthologies.
Yeah, a lot of people do, don't they?
Yeah.
I suppose the only example of that is, who was the lady we had on a couple of weeks ago? Did she do an anthology first? I can't remember.
Zoe?
Sorry. Yeah, did she just jump into her first book?
I think she jumped straight into her first book. I think she did a short comic and then just
that's right. Yeah. I mean, anthology, and lots of people are looking for, you know, content for anthologies. If you look about and you know the right, you know, like the Dog Breath guys, they're always looking for good people. So it's a shame that Sliced has gone away. Sliced was a great place to play and play about with the format and stuff. I think that was a good place.
What do you think the market's like for anthologies at the moment?
It's definitely gone down, man, I think.
Yeah, like indie anthologies.
I don't think it's as good. I think the problem with an anthology is, for me, it's usually, I'm lucky if I get 40% winner. Hmm. It's less. Yeah. I think
Do you think it's harder to sell them to the...
Yeah, I think so. The only benefit you get with a Kickstarter, with an anthology, is you get probably 30 people working on a comic, and you get 30 people who will then sell the comic onwards to the five people that want to buy it. You know, so there is that benefit to it. But I think even 2000 AD is what, 2-3 strips a week that I'll enjoy? At the moment, it's like 2.
And the rest is kind of like whatever.
Meh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think certainly the small press world in the 90s and early 2000s, the majority was a lot of anthology. And it was seen, that was what people would do. They'd try out in anthologies and then try and get gigs with 2000 AD or Marvel or whoever it's going to be. But now it's much more auteur, I think, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just get published, just if you got the money, front it up yourself. And
yeah, that's what I've done.
Get it printed and then just sell the copies through social media. You can do that.
Yeah.
It's a bit more of an expensive option. You're putting your eggs in one basket there.
Yeah. I think because he's a writer only, I think, is the...
Gotcha.
A bit like me, is, you know, sourcing an artist. And the whole journey through it is sort of... It's harder when you're just the writer. If I could draw, then I'd just be making my own comics and, you know, running them off in the photocopier and then sticking them out at cons.
I can only suggest, when you're trying to source an artist, is I've gone through Facebook to find artists, but it's such a different commitment to get a pinup artist over an interior artist. It's a tricky one. It's all about kind of building up relationships and trust.
Yeah, and just don't go for anyone as well. Don't go for the first person who says they do it. Look at their work and see if their work suits what you're doing. And don't take pity on people because you think they might improve in your comic, because often they won't. Yeah.
And do look at what they produced before. If someone's like showing you amazing pages and you say, well, what have you done? Oh, well, I did these 4 pages of the test. You don't know how long they've done those pages for. Have they done any full comics before?
Yeah.
Because I've tried to say this to other people, like saying, oh, I draw a comic, 22-page comic, that's a fucking lot of work.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would catch them off guard. They sort of like go hit it like full speed and then get to page 3 or 4. And it's like, fucking hell, this is a lot. And yeah. Crash and burn.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to kind of look at what they produced before and have they got the kind of...
And have a long eye, because if these people aren't, they're not full-time cartoonists, a lot of people in the small press scene. They've got jobs elsewhere. And to produce, what, 2 or 3 pages a week is a lot of work. I mean, you do it, Dan. It's a lot of work when you've actually got a job as well.
I do 2 a week, and it's fucking a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Some people.
That's more than some professionals, though, to be fair.
To be fair, now that I'm not doing it, I'm fucking twiddling my thumbs a lot.
Right.
Because I've not got a comic on the go at the moment.
But that's because you've got yourself used to this sort of way of working, though, isn't it? That's
It's the sort of the production schedule sort of of my life, making comics.
Your life.
It's not that.
Why not give yourself a little 4-pager? Just for yourself. Just for yourself, not for anyone else.
When Viper finishes, I've got to do all the commission stuff for that, so that's only got a week to go.
Oh, of course, Viper that's on Kickstarter now, that one.
Kickstarter now. Yeah. Viper.
We haven't even got to that bit yet.
I know. I was literally just before we came online, Johnny Cannon showed me one of his because he's doing some saucy commissions for people who buy his book, isn't he? Christ, he's putting a lot of fucking work. Yeah.
He gives himself a lot of work.
Yes, there's some cracking stuff coming out for it. I've just seen mine actually.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, really good.
Fair play to him, man. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we want to touch on that subject?
Oh, which one's that?
The saucy commissions.
Dan loves this.
We talked about it on the lead up to Viper's Kickstarter coming in, and it was a social experiment, wasn't it, Dan?
Yeah,
in a kind of way, like a saucy pinup.
I see a lot of these Kickstarters that essentially just have half their content is fucking saucy pinups.
Yeah,
and I thought it was good for the goose. So I thought let's see if I do one in mine. What the uptake is and how's
the
it affect?
Poses I had to pull for you, man. It was a long night. That was up there.
I had to downplay how awesome the knockers were, obviously. Picture. So yeah, I hired an artist, Richard McRae, to do a pin-up. And
You haven't half sold it either. It's a genuinely good bit.
What did you ask him for, though? What did you say you wanted from him? Just, I want to bend in over, looking back like she's playing pool. Did you do anything like that?
No, I said, got the female character. I said, like her on the car, just kind of like doing something.
Oh, like here we go again video kind of thing.
Yeah, so like he sent over about 3 or 4 thumbnails. I think I sent them to you guys.
He did.
Said which ones you like best.
Full on cheesecake art, isn't it?
It's just kind of cheesecake kind of stuff.
If you watch any sort of crowdfunding, is
if you go into Kickstarter and do comics, the first fucking page will have loads of it on it.
Yeah.
And there'll be an excess of double figures.
Because sex sells.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
I did this years ago. I did 3 Vanguard ads I ran. 2 of them were kind of in line with the comic, and 1 of them was like the Maxia character, who's kind of like wears a swimsuit kind of thing and a cape, and she is kind of like a play on what superhero costumes are like. That got about 3 to 4 more times clicks than the other 2. Yeah, and it's, I don't know if it's sad or what, but that's just the state of affairs.
It's interesting because some people would see that and then completely lean into it, which is not what you've done with
Vanguard,
because Vanguard's his own thing.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think it. I mean, one is fascinating and fantastic that you experiment with these sort of things just to see, because it's the readership and just the on just what eyes are going on it and what the click throughs is. It's fascinating. It's fascinating stuff. I mean, the times that like these aforementioned Crowdstar campaigns where we've shared them in a WhatsApp going, have you seen this shite? And most of the time it is shite, but because it has the TNA or whatever it is up front and center, it is taking off. It makes so much money, and we're thinking, you know, I mean, you're in your brain, you think, why?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's.
I don't know any of these people who are like that. I don't. I see them occasionally at conventions asking artists, "Do can you draw a bird with really big tits dressed as a zebra?" Do you know what I mean? I see all that at conventions.
One time, Tony. One time I did that.
I don't know who these people are. Yeah. Where are all these like? They just sound like the dirty back. Yeah. Dirty Mac Brigade to me. I don't know where they live. We don't see them, do we? No, but they seem to be swarming all over these things.
Yeah, it's the anonymity of a Kickstarter pledge, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
But they still have to give their name and address out. Do you know what I mean? Some of these, I mean, remember the local comic shop to me was selling like a bust, a Catwoman bust, you know, a statue. I don't mean her bust, but it did involve her bust quite, you know, quite splendidly. And it had like a costume, a real costume on top of it with a zip. And I said to the bloke around the comic shop, I said, whoever buys that, can we follow them home? Because they're clearly wrong-uns. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I kind of think that a bit about some of these Kickstarters. If, you know, some, was it Amerirotica or some crap like that.
Patriotica.
That's it. I'm like, this is just erotic shit. I mean, in the world of internet porn, where you can look up porn in about 2 seconds, why do people want to see this just rubbish?
Don't know, man. You're preaching to the choir. I don't get it. I don't understand
it. The flip side of the coin is there's a lot of artists and creators and stuff who genuinely love doing this sort of stuff.
So, well, there's some great, people historically who can draw some very sexy women, and let's face it, I mean,
and
I had a number
and very sexy whatever it's,
and I had a moment as a child, you know, becoming quite infatuated with Storm of the X-Men because John Byrne drew her so sexily, but it's also part of a story. Don't just draw a bird with her tits out, cause, you know, it's like
I tell you what, the 90s and swimsuit issues are responsible for a lot of this stuff. It's one of the unspoken legacies that Jim Lee gave the comics world, because there's probably so many lads that fell in love with, I don't know, Psylocke or something like that from a comic or things like that. You know,
I mean, honestly though, guys, have you ever whacked it to a comic character? I never have.
I never have.
A lot, man. I'm like a constant whacker. And I have never whacked a comic character.
Oh, that's your name for next week.
In the Jim Lee X-Men stuff, there is quite a lot of like swimsuit stuff generally. Or like,
yeah, there is, yeah.
Or in practically fucking nothing.
Yeah.
But do these guys, they whack it to comic characters? I don't know. Do they?
Don't know, man.
Must do.
Fucking hell. But then again, completely running alongside that is there's a lot of stuff on Kickstarter that's got nothing to do with boobs, and it seems to make loads of money, and I'm completely at a loss why.
But it depends what the audience is, how they've marketed it, how they've done it. You know?
Yeah, you don't know how much of a following they've got as well.
But some of it, you click on it, you think, fuck, it looks like a child's drawn it. Do you know what I mean? And I get swept up in these, you know, the excitement for things. I think, oh, this is really popular. And I'm like, oh, my God, really?
Yeah. But I think with the whole, you know, sex sales or things like that, you know, lust and stuff like that is always, you know, through history, art, and, you know, whether it be in historical art, you know, all the sex that was in that, or like fantasy artists and stuff, you get the huge, like, muscly Conan, and then there's normally, you know, the scantily clad women and all, you know, all the classic artists have done.
You know, one of the things is like when you the. I've done it on mine, and the others have done it on theirs, is when you post a picture of the pinup and you have the areas blacked out or whatever. There's that kind of, you're trading on that itch that someone's got a scratch. I've got to see that. And that's
that little hormone fire, or that dopamine fire you get from seeing it, and they buy it. I mean, I'm one to talk. I was telling you guys this week, I've read a load of Barbarella comics. Now, they're really good. I mean, they do feature quite a sexy lady, you know, and Barbarella's what? A movie from, was it 68 or something? 67? Yeah. Mm. But the Barbarella comics actually do have a sexy lady in them, but they're actually really well told as well.
Mm.
They're actually good comics.
That's the thing.
Mike Carey writes a load of them.
Yeah, I think a lot of like these aforementioned sexy characters, you know, when a lot of people just quickly look at them and they'll just sort of dismiss them, which is fair enough for the way that sometimes they're written. But
Vampirella's is regularly written well. Deja Thoris, Red Sonja has got some amazing storylines.
And didn't Palmiotti and Amanda Connor do Power Girl for a long time? And Power Girl is someone that is synonymous with having a, you know, people have a preconception
boob window.
Of what, the boob window and stuff like that. And that's, you know, those two work brilliantly on pretty much whatever they do anyway.
I can understand the kind of the pushback on that.
She-Hulk.
Kind of a pretty girl just to get the blokes reading the comic, but the content's generally crud.
Yeah.
Well, that's not always the case, but I can understand why there can be that misconception image from the fucking 90s.
There was a
but
lot
do you
of...
ever get like a do you ever like worry if say for example you in the 90s you went and bought a copy of Witchblade or something and it's her with a you know you could pretty much see her breast couldn't you on the cover
thing about Witchblade
did you ever go
is,
but did I've, you ever read
I've had
Witch,
I read Witchblade from issue one till god knows I've forgotten what issue I've still got the comic somewhere really enjoyed that at the beginning. It was really
good.
Did you
ever get embarrassed buying it? Did you ever get embarrassed buying it at the...
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
No, okay.
The only comic I got embarrassed buying as a teen was fucking Sex Specials of Elementals 1. Yeah. That was like...
Yeah, you love that one. That's your
that
favorite.
Was like,
I
oh, fucking hell.
I think the thing with the Witchblade, and it, my memory is fuzzy because it's been a long time, but I never bought like a lot of the spin-offs or, you know, I wasn't someone who bought the posters or all of this sort of stuff. But I don't think the comics... I mean, there was obviously the costume, which had a certain look about it, should we say.
Yeah.
But the covers weren't, they weren't like a OTT titillation thing, which it probably, I mean, I'm sure it became after I stopped reading it. I think I must have done about 30 or 40 issues of Witchblade. And that also...
No, it's not a bad comic.
It was a genuine, I mean, the first like couple of arcs, Michael Turner's art was beautiful. I mean, that man had an influence... That went far beyond
his
life.
Big influence.
Loved his stuff.
I remember reading Wizard magazine, and they said they're going to make a TV series of Witchblade. And I was like, how's that going to fucking work?
Yeah.
They're going to get any actress to wear that thing.
I watched that. It was all right.
Witchblade and the Darkness were my jam. She was really hard
to work with, the actress.
Yeah, apparently. Wasn't she one of the daughters of the Beach Boys or something like that, wasn't she, I think?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
She did appear in Hard Target.
Hard Target, that classic.
And
that absolute classic. He punched.
They still show it occasionally on. Is it the Horror Channel showed it for ages, didn't they? That series. I watched a couple of them. She was like a detective. It was very sort of detective of the week story or something. I think, wasn't it?
Okay.
Yeah.
That first Darkness game was the fucking shit. I know you don't like video games, Tony, but that was a bit
so good. Yeah, and that was a way to do it with that sort of thing. But yeah, those titles, I think, because they went on for so long, and because we were in this world of the pin-ups, the pin-up world, which became huge, and you know, and all you would see was the cover on Wizard or whatever, which was just a snapshot. It wasn't anything to do with the story. I think it gave them a certain, you know, people immediately judged them in a certain way based on what they were, and these comics may have become that. Like I say, I only read them for a certain point, and then
I've got a copy of Witchblade in front of me. It's one of the reasons I mentioned it, and it's not bad, man. It's issue 23, and it's got Michael Turner on some of the pages, and a guy called Randy Green, who's pretty good.
I've got a box somewhere with some of my 90s comics, and it's not full of like Young Blood issue 1 and stuff like that, but because. The ones that were
you'd
for
be
me,
a millionaire.
Yeah, I've got a run of Witchblade. I've got a run of Darkness and Crimson from Cliffhanger.
Humberto Ramos,
which for me is an unsung gem of a comic. That if you like Humberto Ramos, fuck it. If you like vampire comics in general, seek those books out because they are brilliant. Cliffhanger got a lot of press for obviously the artists like you know Joe Madureira and Chris Pacello and stuff like that, and you know the certain books, some books that sort of started and got more press and then you wouldn't see much about them, and Crimson just kept coming out every month.
Oh, cool.
And it kept going. Not everyone was talking about it. I think it only had like a 25 issue run, and it's so good. Every single issue was really good.
I mean, there's some shite from there back then, but there's some little gems here and there.
I think
Brigade,
like,
for example.
I don't know how we got onto this topic.
At some point.
I
can't really remember. We jumped about from that question from Gary, didn't we? But we got there. We got to that in the end.
How to get published? I don't know how to get published at a big company. I wouldn't like to offer up advice since I've never had that.
No, I don't. Yeah. Yes.
And sometimes
it's a sticky question.
Sometimes when big companies come calling, and I don't have any evidence here. This is just. The theoretical, when they come calling, you'll be like, yes, oh, they only want to offer me that. Do you know what I mean? Because the market is a certain way and they can't, you know, there is a reason. It's not like there.
I can only speak from my experience at No Brow, and all of our books go through a commissioning process, but they will come in as an idea, and they want it to, because we're slightly different, you know, we want an original idea that looks good, or we want something that's, and it's also got to be something that sells. It can't just be this sort of boring rehash of what's out there already. That's the thing that, in fact, if you came in with us and went, look, I've written all these comics, one's a horror, you know, one's a superhero, and we're going, it's boring, man, they all look boring. What have you got that's interesting?
that's my week ruined.
But do you know what I mean? You've got to have something about it. There's got to be something interesting about it. It's got to be an original thing. It's got to be well written, well presented. But most of all, you've got to have something about you. Be creative.
You've got to be passionate about it. The age old thing, do it for yourself.
I would also mention that thing about if you're looking to get employed by the big boys, as it were, do keep an eye on your social media.
Don't be
very careful what you're kind of tweeting or not, because that appears to sort of factor into sometimes that
they will people will jump on anything as well.
So just be kind of.
I mean, I think with this weekend being Thought Bubble and stuff, it's going to be a buzz, especially that weekend, and you know, from now on, this whole week and the Thought Bubble weekend itself, with everything going on, is selling everywhere, people. And rightfully so, people have got their work to pimp and put out there, and you know, shop links and stuff. So you're going to see a lot of that. But also at the same time, maybe this is a good, you know, this is a good chance to see some people that you may not have noticed before and get in touch with them. You know, that just because someone's selling something doesn't mean you can't necessarily sort of say, "Oh, can I ask you if you've got a bit of time, can I ask you a question about something?"
Yeah, a convention isn't just about selling.
No.
You know, it's not just about putting comics in people's hands. It's a social and a conversation. Yeah. And I hate to use the word networking, but it is that as well.
And it will probably still, for the sellers out there, it will probably still have that result of, you have a fantastic interaction with someone, they'll pick up your book. I reckon I hope that would still happen.
Well, you'll have an interaction and they'll put it back down again. But that happens a lot as well.
All depends on the interaction though, doesn't it?
I know there's not a lot of time left, but if you're kind of a creator who's going to be at Thought Bubble, the DigiCon, do make sure you've got your links sorted out and where people can buy your comics, et cetera, et cetera. And I would ask you make your pinned tweet, if you're on Twitter, to your shop.
Oh, God, that's a good idea, Dan. Do you know what? There's so many things we're catching up on at the moment.
Also, plus, you just watched me almost have a meltdown because I couldn't remember my password to the big cartel store. But
my pinned tweet at the moment is the fucking Viper promo, and all the stuff in my head is Viper stuff.
Yeah.
But that'll change, obviously, when the project's done. But you want people like to be able to see what you're doing straight away. If I have to scan through fucking someone's tweets to find their Etsy shop or Gumroad, fuck me, it's too much fucking work.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've asked them and they send the message and it's here. It's like, well, where's that fucking information like in your bio when you're telling me you like to drink tea or something? Give me your fucking shop address.
I love a quick buy using a PayPal button as well. I've got to tell you. Bro, I'm having to put all my details in 4 times and put my credit card details in. Nothing winds me up more.
No, yeah. PayPal's my fucking jam, man. Just like buy the PayPal password, and there's the comic.
Yeah.
I don't want to add in all my details and stuff to some website.
Yeah, I certainly hope that a lot of people who are exhibiting this weekend, for instance, have bear that in mind, because you know, it isn't a convention like a normal convention. It isn't like that. You know, you're not going to be stood around thinking, "Oh, I really need a cup of tea, but I can't leave my table." You can, because you know, there's
just for maybe a minute or so,
unless you're live streaming the entire thing, which not like that, Tony. That's on my OnlyFans. There's the OnlyFans mention of the week.
There's a good networking opportunity on the drinker draw.
Superb. I mean we normally get 35. You're very good. Yeah, we normally get 35 or 40 people there. We're going to get more this time because we've got loads of new people asking about it. If you want to, and I will be going around, or you know, each of us will be going around asking all the people on there what you got going on at the moment, what you got for sale, what you're drawing, you know, this sort of thing. And it's definitely a way to talk about it. And it's not a hard sell on there. It's just, you know, well, like we did in the last one, didn't we? I'd say, oh, what are you working on at the moment? Now, so I'm working on this. I'm just about to put it on Kickstarter. Yeah. Good. It's a way to do it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And we might as well just pimp this now. Because when is better to do it? We are very proud to be part of the Thought Bubble Fringe this year. The range of events that's happening around Thought Bubble time, taking place between the 9th and the 20th, is that 15th? 15th of November, I couldn't read my own poster then. And there will be the awesome Thought Bubble drink and draw, which is this Friday, yep. Friday the 13th of November, 7:30 p.m. UK time.
Yep.
Hosted by, as we said earlier, the wonderful Tom Curry at This Chucklehead. And he's certainly been flying the flag and just posting about it and saying, get in touch with me if you want the details and stuff.
We all know Tom's a fourth member. Yeah. We all know that. Yeah.
We will be also posting out these details as well, close to the time. So, pay attention to our networks, etc. But the basic thing is this, because this is the first drink and draw I've ever been part of, the ones that we're doing here. And there's been a tradition of drink and draws for years, certainly if you watch social media. So much fun, and people have, go to their pub or their cafe, group of like-minded artists, and just people who just want to hang out. And it's literally that. You just turn up and just do some doodling around some like-minded people and just have a laugh. Now, we took it into the digital domain, and we're not going to say we're the first to do it, because probably loads of people do this, and they're doing all kinds of things at the moment and getting around the whole COVID-19 puzzle. But it's been going really well. And if you, if this is your first time listening to the show, we'd love you to be involved as well. And everyone is welcome.
Yeah, so, exactly. And this is what, the fourth or fifth one? And each one we've had new people on, and everyone is super friendly.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to talk, you don't want to talk. It's fine.
It's a drink and draw. That doesn't mean you don't have to be drinking alcohol. You don't have to be drinking whatever. Drink. I mean, I normally have a tea on the go. Always. Well, I'm British, aren't I?
You can listen to me just berating Vince, which is what I do a lot on it.
Yeah, it does happen. I think I'll just leave one. Spectacularly one time, just to really really set people on edge.
You did that already. You did that on the last
one. No, I turned the camera off. I mean, I could literally leave it and, just throw the cat that cat.
Yeah, but I'm a moderator. I won't let you back in.
That's all right. Well, no, if I leave, I'll leave. Anyway, but the one for Thought Bubble is brilliant. No matter what your skill level is, all you have to do is turn up, be nice and be respectful. We will not, like I say, we are going to be moderating this, and we're not going to tolerate anyone being out of order with anybody. We're going to, because it's just about having fun. So all you got to do is be respectful and have fun drawing with a group of like-minded people, and it's just celebrating Thought Bubble 2020 kicking off. Yep. We couldn't be prouder about this.
We're the pre-con party. Think of it that way.
Yeah,
that's what we are, the drawing party.
If you go to the Thought Bubble website, there's so much stuff happening over this weekend, whether it be like the chats, the talks, the workshops, there's stuff about zines, there's all kinds. We could spend a whole show just listing it, but if you just go to the website, there's they post up all the stuff that's happening now, and it's really exciting. And it would be really cool if everyone posts up their artwork everywhere. If you do a piece of artwork that you're quite pleased with.
We've got a hashtag, haven't we?
Yeah, well, there's two hashtags.
Right.
Because we're joining up with the Thought Bubble hashtag. So hashtag TBF20 and hashtag awesome drink and draw. And after the day on Saturday, if you just search for those, it will make the best gallery of artwork ever. And seriously, with the ones that the group of people and some of the artwork we've been seeing, sometimes it's just people just doing it. They're working on a comic, so they're just sketching something. It doesn't have to be a topic. It doesn't, just turn up and just have a good time. And I really enjoy seeing people post their artwork up every time that we do this. It's really inspirational, and it's just. So, sometimes I'm like, bloody hell, that person was there. They kept quiet.
Yeah. We had. We usually have one room which sort of extends into two screens if you've got a big computer screen.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to get a lot of people in, so I think we may slip off two or three separate rooms. So it'll be probably with one of us in a room just chatting to everyone with a room full of people. But yes, it's friendly. I'll tell you what, it's not cliquey. I say this every time, it's not cliquey. And this will be our fifth time. Do you reckon, guys? I can't remember now.
Yeah, it must be about that.
Yeah, and everyone really is really buzzing afterwards.
Yeah. And I will say, you don't have to turn up for the time. You don't have to turn up.
Yeah.
You don't have to be there the whole time. You could turn up.
Drop in half hour.
Yeah. Just do a doodle, say hello to some people, and then just go. It's fine.
And you can go and come back. There's none of that. You can just,
Yeah. It's great. We're doing some prep so we get it right. we want this one to get it right. So, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So, yeah, follow Tom at This Chucklehead, or our Twitter at The Awesome Pod. Well, we'll be,
I think the recommendation I've given as well is, if we've had a couple of messages, people saying, how do I get involved? And I said, well, just join the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Because Tom will post the link in there as well.
Yeah. This is available. It's to do with Thought Bubble. If you just want to join, it doesn't have to, you know, if you can't make it to the festival, wherever you are in the world, you're welcome to join. It doesn't matter, because it's just a great group of people.
Well, most people are, to be fair.
Yeah, and there's us. Do you know what I mean?
And it's only a fiver each. That's a joke.
Completely free. So yeah, please join us there. We are looking forward to it. It's going to be great. I think it's going to be good fun. And then there'll be the rest of the weekend of Thought Bubble. It'd be cool. And there's all kinds of different
brilliant video that Dan's making this week.
Yes. I really hope I don't give you too much work, Dan.
That'd be all right.
Yeah. It should be fun. Anyone who's seen any
optimism.
Any of Dan's sort of video,
best video on Kickstarter.
But yeah,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, your video editing skills are top notch, dude.
I've been trying to work on them and get them up to scratch.
Yeah,
I reckon you could say to people, if you pay me, I'll do you a video. I reckon there's that element for people with Kickstarters coming up. I've got to tell you,
Definitely think it's helped me with sales. Yeah, having a decent video.
Yeah, it's good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice for you now, though, because you're well over the amount, aren't you? And you can just, not coast it, but you don't have to worry, do you, about it? Yeah.
I've been really soft-selling it this week. I'm going to kind of put the pedal to the metal. And
it's the old score with Kickstarter. You get loads at the start, you get a few as it dwindles on, and then you get loads at the end. That's the way it works. Yeah,
I've kind of feel like, what's the point in doing it for fucking 30 days? Just do it for 2 weeks.
That's what we've started doing.
Get the whack at the middle, get the whack at the start and the whack at the end, and you don't have to have
I'll whack it all the time.
How often do you whack it, then?
As much as possible.
Over two weeks.
Rather than having 2 weeks where it's just like whacking a few quid coming in here and there, just go large at the start, go large at the end.
I mean, you go large and then you just start whacking straight away, don't you, Tony? I mean, you don't want to do that for 30 days. Cause
you're talking toffee hammer. Toffee
you
hammer
would be
area
as
now.
Red as a fire engine, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It begins to hurt after a while.
Talking from experience here.
Lockdown wanking.
Yeah. Where are those anthologies? Right.
Yeah. I think we've seen one. Dan did one this week. Dan, I'm not going to say what it is, but the funniest thing of my week, that was, I've got to tell you.
I would do that because I know you really like them. It made me laugh.
I mean, much like the show, folks, we just do it to entertain ourselves and you have to listen to it. Sorry about that. But it makes sense, since we've talked a bit about Kickstarters and we're on that sort of shout-out section of the show. Let's start with Dan Butcher. Let's talk about Viper. You know, give it a shout-out, dude, because and when it's coming to a close. Tell us a bit more.
When you listen to this podcast on Monday, it has 7 days to go. I kind of got it to end just after Thought Bubble ends.
Savvy.
So that wasn't by accident. That was cold calculating. So yeah, it's done well. It's blasted through the total. We're well over the goal, so it's going to get printed and out there. It's a 48-page comic, originally published in the ACP anthology, but now it's fully coloured, remastered. It's got a load of extra bat matter, some extra content.
Really great prologue, great introduction page.
Oh, cheers, dude. Yeah, written by someone we know. And at the moment, I've got two covers.
I thought you'd forgotten it was me for a second. Then.
No. And now that the project's got like the funding goal, there's two covers you can choose from. So, when you get the back of report back, you can say, I want cover A or cover B. And
oh, nice. Oh,
more,
good.
More bang for your buck.
Oh, nice one, man! In a bit of selfish promotion, we launch an hour before the Drink and Draw. Hercules 3. Yeah. That actually wasn't calculated because we generally launch on a Friday at 6, and then I said to Adam, "I said, oh, that's just for the Kickstarter. It's really good. I can go on about it nonstop during the Kickstarter during the Drink and Draw. I won't, incidentally. But
I think there's an element of trying to get fucking Kickstarters out before the postage change.
Yeah, there really is, man.
Knows what that's going to be. That's going to change the game.
Yeah. Well, we're working on a longer form thing after Herc 3, which will take us a little longer, and we're hoping by the time we finish that, it's going to be all changed up. In fact, we've got a guest in a couple of weeks, hopefully. I've got to message in a minute who will talk to us a bit about the difference between the UK and the States and postage and stuff.
Looking forward to that. Yeah. It's not always been this bad, has it? Like,
no, it hasn't. No.
It's just, it seems ridiculous amount of stuff. We did say that. What was that Scurry comic we were...
Oh yeah, that's right.
Thinking about backing, but like that was, it cost more to ship the thing over than to actually buy it, and I was like, yeah, that crosses the line for me.
I actually bought it way down the road. The first two volumes were paperback from his store, and it was, and this was a while ago, so you know, don't quote me on it being like this now. I think he had a sale, and with the postage, it was okay, because I know the Kickstarter was hardcovers, wasn't it? I think, which is obviously was completely different. And the first two volumes were paperbacks, and you know, they're still beautiful books.
Max Smith, that comic's still running. I'd heartily recommend people
check
it out.
He's got a sketchbook out now on Kickstarter. Have you seen this?
No.
Yeah, he's got a sketchbook out on Kickstarter with just filled. If you've seen Max artwork, absolutely stunning. A lot of Scurry stuff.
On the show, hasn't he?
Yeah, some extra bits as well. And that's a fantastic book as well.
Can I just read you a message I sent to Jim Starlin after I got a... I got a bill for the postage on his new book. I'll read you the message. He hasn't read it yet. I'll read you the message I sent him. It says, $64 for shipping, Jim. It's the UK, not Mars. he hasn't read that yet.
Nice.
That's quite a lot.
Yes, it is.
What other shout-outs do we have, gents?
I've got a couple. So Atomic Hercules 3, I mentioned that again. It's digest size, double length, and we have a great extra story, which I've just written if it hits a certain amount of pledges. Welcome to the shit show last week as well for Johnny Cannon. Big shout out to Johnny. I've just been speaking to him on the WhatsApp. 11 o'clock. People don't know what I do for a living, but I had to stay up and cover something for the American elections this week. And
didn't know that was going on.
Yeah, have you heard? Yeah, it was... I'd been up for about fucking 3 days at that point, and I was the most tired. I could barely speak. But the boys over at the 11 o'clock comics Slack group put a Zoom on. So they managed to, they dragged me through. So they kept me company and dragged me through. And big shout out to Dap, Jason and Vince, Vince very kindly referred to us as sort of our English cousins. And I kind of like that. I kind of, because well, we like those guys. And
I know we are.
And I know they're listeners and they're good lads. And they're like us. I think they've got a similar point of view around comics positivity that we have. And I've been listening to their show for well over a decade and even the show before it. So, big shout out to those boys. And that's a great little comics, positive comics community. And I went on the Zoom and had a chat to Ian and Tim last night. So, yeah, it's good stuff. Yep.
Nice. Dan, have you got any shout outs?
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to one.
What is this?
That's on Kickstarter now. Check it out.
You just set the link through.
I don't think we should put this in the show.
Oh my God, what is this? Looks marvellous, everyone. Looks marvellous.
Oh no. I'll tell you what. I'll do a bit of editing on this bit. That's fucking hilarious.
I thought it would just be funny to do that, and then I thought, really shit.
That's hurt my eye. Yeah. That's fucking awful.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent, but brilliant.
You don't think they use Poser on this, do you?
No.
I've got a quick shout out. Chip Collective. After Thought Bubble last year, I picked up one of their books, Living with Cancer, which was a brilliant anthology book. And they've got lots of other stuff. Today, as we speak, their online shop is going to be available. And all proceeds from the sales of all of their stuff go to Cancer Research UK.
Oh, cool. Nice one, man.
Good.
So, brilliant. Go and support them because they were really nice. I managed to have the Thought Bubble special last year, I managed to just have a quick talk with them. And they're a great group of people doing some great books that you need to check out.
Stuff. Yeah. We've got some exciting interviews coming up, actually, for our Thought Bubble special. We've got a few lined up already. It's very good.
Yes.
No, got Harass and Creators to interview them. So, look out for that.
If you're listening to this this podcast now and it's before the Thought Bubble weekend, then please message Dan and ask to do an interview with
Dan B. Dan B sliding into your DMs.
That is the worst thing you've ever said in the history of this show. What have you become?
Guns.
What? I mean,
I thought I hit my head.
Ever since you joined, ever...
I got a slow.
He warned us before the show that he's got no inner monologue.
I've got a slow brain bleed.
I mean, in all seriousness, you said you might have minor concussion.
Yeah, I think I do.
Minor.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah.
Makes the whole world more interesting.
Yeah. Are you aware that you're constantly talking about your Kickstarter, or do you think you've just done it once?
Yeah. Talk to strangers when you're out looking for the cat.
Have we talked about Viper yet?
Yeah, hello. Do you want this can of beer or not? Have you heard of Viper?
I mean, you laugh, but
how much, darling? Have you heard of Viper, darling?
I tell you what, we laugh, but some people fucking genuinely market their Kickstarters like that.
I've been up to my Kickstarter.
Yeah. Also, never, 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 never fucking like tag someone in or DM someone and said, "Oh, can you back my Kickstarter?" Don't ever do that. Right, it's fucking the worst.
Just don't. Please don't. I've been tagged in by about 4 different people this week, and it just does my sweet in. All I can think of is how to untag myself.
Yeah.
Thank if you tag me in, that's like saying, "Don't, I'm not going to back it."
Yeah.
Because if I do, that's positive reinforcement. And I don't want to.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, God. Speaking of positivity, should we recommend some comics?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, let's send
have you got one each of you this week, or have you got two each?
I've got a quick one, and then I've got a quick two.
Okay, do you want to do your? I got a quick one and a longer one. So, do you want to do your quick one?
I just want to give a shout. I got Murder issue 1 from John Tucker as an agent.
Yeah. Hey.
As a lovely read. It was one of those things I completely forgot that I backed it, and then it turned up in the post.
I like that.
I was like, "Hooray! Yeah." The wife usually says, "Oh, what's this now? More comics?" Something along those lines.
I'm going to be getting that a lot because I've sort of slowed down on Kickstarter purchasing, but I know there was a bout when I sort of pledged a lot, and they're all being posted now. If that makes sense.
You two want to get a pair of bollocks? Stand up at home. Stand up for yourself at home. That's what you want to do.
Says the man who's locked in his own bunker.
Says the man who gets all of his comics posts sent to the office these days.
So, Murder.
Fantastic. Another two tales, aren't they?
Yeah.
John. Yeah. I think they're going to. It's volume one, so I presume there's going to be more from John. I think he's hinted at a second part. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I believe so.
He's finished. He's drawn it, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's not back. Yeah. He's not kickstarted yet, has he?
Not yet. No, not yet. He's too busy having babies.
Yeah.
Good luck, John.
Yeah. I've got a quick one. So it's my yearly recommendation of Back Issue magazine from Tomorrow's, which I absolutely love. And I got two this week, actually. I don't know why I got two at once, but it must be a shipping thing post-COVID, post-lockdown. But I've got the really amazing one is Back Issue 123. They're quite pricey. It's $9.95, so you're going to probably pay £9 for them. But it's a superhero romance issue, but it's got cover by Dave Gibbons. It's an older drawing by Dave Gibbons. It looks like it's been inked or coloured more recently by someone else. And it's about superhero weddings and romances through this. I mean, it's a little bit niche, it's a little bit nostalgia, it's a little bit comics history, but that's kind of why I love it. And they do some really deep dives on some of the stuff here. They've got Weddings of the Bronze Age, so see if any of these ring any bells, guys. You've got Bouncing Boy and Duo Damsel from the Legion Superheroes, Adam Strange and the Alana of Ran. You've got Superman and Lois, Johnny Quick and Liberty Bell from All-Star Squadron 50, Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl. You've got Ray Palmer and Gene Loring, The Atom from Justice League of America 5-7, Karzar and Shanna, Karate Kid and Princess Projector, Donna Troy and Terry Long. Remember Terry Long? He was the sort of ginger beardy bloke in Teen Titans issue 50. You got Scott and Jean, obviously.
Yes.
And you got Professor X and Lilandra. And it goes through the artists and the writers of the time, and it grabs quick interviews with people and what they've said about it stuff. And you get art by Joe Staton, Dick Dillon, Don Newton, Marshall Rogers, Bob Layton, and that's just naming, a tenth of the people there in this stuff. It's really good. They do all kinds of magazines about the history of comics and some pop culture. They did a thing called Retro Fan, which is about TV and music and stuff. But they do Alter Ego as well. They do Comic Creator. They do back issue like this one is, and they do Kirby Collector as well. So they do some really great stuff. I'm really in love with their work. There's a real love put into it. I don't think they earn millions out of what they do, but you can get digital versions of it as well, which are a lot cheaper. If you go to tomorrows.com, TWOMOROWS, tomorrows.com, you can find their stuff, and you can they often have sales on the stuff, but they're nice, perfect bound magazines that fit nicely on my shelves, and issue number 123, and they're still going. It's really good stuff, man. It's the sort of magazine I'd love to write for. I absolutely would die to write for this magazine. It's really good. Yeah.
Nice. What's the Green Lantern one? It's this. Oh, I can't remember the lady in pink.
Star Sapphire. Yeah. Yeah. That's what's on the cover. It's the Green Lantern, Dave Gibbons cover. Yeah.
When they're your enemies. I can't remember. Does his girlfriend take up the mantle of the Star Sapphire at one
That's
point?
That's right. Call, yeah. It mucks about because it ends up being a little, when they do the colours, you know, they do the Black Lanterns and they do that sort of thing. I think Star Sapphires are one of them. But yeah. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I mean, anything by Dave Gibbons, you've got to jump on because he doesn't do a super amount, does he?
No.
These days. Yeah. Cool.
All right. My first one is going to be... I mean, seems like I've said the word Kickstarter so much this week. We're not sponsored, I swear to God. but I got Knights versus Pirates by Reckless Hero. Jay Martin, Chris Imber, and Chris Jenkins. We talked to them about the project a few episodes ago. Time flies, doesn't it?
Oh, it didn't, yeah.
And of course, it was a successful campaign. So much so that one of the stretch goals was, I think the hardcover was sort of slightly oversized. You could get an oversized version, of which I have. Tony, you've
got... Yeah, I got the soft cover. I wish I got the hardcover now. I don't know why I just did the soft cover. Yeah, but it's still nice, I just like the oversized look of that one.
The whole look and feel of the book is great anyway. And, for those... I mean, it's called Knights versus Pirates. Do you need anything to sell it more? Well, I'll give you the synopsis anyway. On a quest from God, King Arthur has dispatched three of his most trusted knights to search for an ancient relic that will give them the power to defend their homeland from an ancient force. But all will not be so simple as the scourge of the oceans, Blackbeard himself, sets sail through time on the will of a mysterious assailant to lay claim to history's greatest weapon and turn the tide in their own favour. I mean, it's King Arthur versus Blackbeard. I mean, it sells itself, surely. I mean, what more do you need? Well, if you need a fantastic story, you've got that as well. This isn't just one of those asylum movie type, let's just put things together. It's a story that's been put together with actual thought. And of course, the way it looks as well. Like, the Reckless Hero guys, I'm just going to call them a collective because they all work together like seamlessly. It's a beautiful looking book. You know, from cover to cover. I mean, this collected cover as well has a lot of nice black back matter with sketches and all kinds and like maps and, you know, just, it's wonderful. It's such a professional job that, you know, I mean, I hope I can see when conventions go back to what they used to be, that these will be hopefully shifting off their tables straight away, if there's any right in the world. But yeah, the story is pretty developed. I mean, there's pages and pages of action, and certainly it was going to be shorter, and then it got longer, isn't it? I think they just kept going and it kept expanding, and there was so many sort of splash pages and double page spreads of fantastic action and artwork that gives you exactly what you want. Because when you've got a title like Knights versus Pirates, if you've got a versus in your title, you want to see things fight each other. How many times how many times have we seen a versus where it's a letdown because you don't really get what the title suggests? This one, from the very beginning to the very end, it is that Knights versus Pirates. The story has twists and turns. There's moments of it that I didn't expect, and where the big villain of the piece turned up, I thought was a really cool and very... Only in comic books can this be done. I think this is my personal favourite piece that Jay Martin's written. Obviously he's written quite a few books already, but this is my favourite work of his. Imber gets better with every page he draws, and you can tell he's having fun with this. And I think that you know, I mean, it's a hell of a lot of work.
Imber's one of those guys who I can't believe he's not working... You know, for some of the big companies.
Yeah.
If he's invested in an iPad Pro and he's recently started putting up his work on that and how much he's enjoying working with it. And if you go onto his Twitter, he's put up some of those videos you can export off the iPad, and you can see him drawing in real time, as it were.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
And the amount of followers and likes he gets and stuff, you think they'd be foolish not to pick him for something. Yeah. At least covers, for God's sake, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. There should be somewhere. I mean, especially seeing a book like this, seeing a completed sort of graphic novel instead of a one and done issue, you know, it speaks volumes. And Chris Jenkins' colouring is so, you know.
I think it's Chris's birthday this week as well. It's happy birthday, Chris.
Oh, happy birthday, Chris.
Birthday, Chris.
You know, this is I say professional level, but you know what I mean. It's big two quality sort of like finish that I know Reckless always aim to put out with their books, and this very deserved success. And I'm very pleased to say that the flavour backs up the packaging. So. I don't know what that means. I think
that's a poor quote for you.
I think I was thinking about pies.
That's a bit, a little bit Partridge, but I think you got away with that one.
Yeah. Kiss my face.
I saw a quote on one of the, I think it's Rock the God. There's a quote on the back and it says something like, hits the back of the net or something like that. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the most Partridge quote.
Liquid filler. Eat my goal.
A recommendation for someone's comic and I put like Liquid Comics or something. I thought, no, I can't go for full Partridge.
Yeah.
This is Liquid Comics.
I mean, obviously, probably a lot of our listeners already backed the Knights versus Pirates campaign. If you haven't, then definitely check out the Reckless Hero guys. RecklessHero.com. And it'll be on there. I think they're probably making sure that they're all delivered before offering them up. But maybe this weekend it will be available. Have to double check that. But well worth your time in every way, shape and form. So, yes, they've smashed it again. Very pleased. And also, it's just a lovely book to put on the shelves.
What's next, you fuckers?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the only problem they've got is, you know, what's the next album going to be like? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Chris is already drawing some more stuff, so I don't know what he's working
on. He said something to me. I can't remember what it was he said now.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of historical action going in there as well, I think.
Ah.
We'll see.
I love a bit of action, mate.
Interesting.
Anyway, Tony.
Oh, shall I do mine? So mine is Neurotic Action. It's coming out of Thought Bubble. It's by Joe Stone, who we interviewed. I think I interviewed him at LCAF. Remember LCAF last year?
Yeah.
We had an interview on the show from him. 29 pages. It's three stories. So they're kind of interconnecting. There's this little strand between them. It's done in three different colors. So the first story is pink, you know, black and white art with pink overlay. So the one color. The second story is scrolling through to it. I think it's sort of blue with a blue sort of overlay and a light, sort of light blue, very well done. And the third one is a green. It's really nicely put together. The cover is all in tones of pink, and it just shows a road with a UPX delivery service lorry driving along it. And I read this digitally, so I didn't appreciate the value of the wraparound cover. So he's got a wraparound cover, and on the front, you get this lorry, very sort of realistic lorry in a stylized background. And just to the left, you see there's a woman on a billboard. But if you go to the very end of the comic, the woman on the billboard is actually part of the story. So it's quite cleverly done like that. It gives you a hint on the left, but if you turned the book over, it would explain perhaps more of the story. It's slowly and it quietly, the van pulls up outside a suburban house and the driver pushes a large, it's kind of like a fridge size box, I suppose, on a trolley into the house. And the markings on the box say, you'll like this, Dan, Love Machine, the ultimate adult pleasure product.
I do like it.
Yeah, really, isn't it? Yeah. And the man who's a sort of little bit older, he's got a bit of weight on him. He's got like a bit of an old bloke moustache and there's a sad quality to him. He opens the box and inside it is all the various bits of a lady's body. So there's a pair of legs. There's a series of different wigs you can put on the face of the head of the body. There's a torso with a pair of boobs on it. There's a couple of screws, a couple of different shoes. You get various size feet actually, which I thought was a funny little touch from Joe. You can have different size feet for them. Some people are into feet. I think Tarantino's into feet, isn't he? Famously.
Oh, God, yeah.
and he opens it, and you get this prolonged series, a couple of pages of him putting it together. And he puts a wig on it And it takes some time. And it's a very sort of slow pace to the book, which I, you know, works, I think. I think it wouldn't work in an Avengers comic, but it works in this sort of small press environment, doesn't it? We get that quite a lot. And he sits on the couch next to this woman once he's completely made up and she's got a wig on and she's got, you know, this robot once she's got her dress on. And he's looking at the instructions. And he says to himself, how do I turn you on? And all the female robot says is foreplay. And and you realize, right, okay, I see where this is going. So he has sex with her. She sort of almost like pushes him into it as if there's not much else going on. So he has this rather clinical and sex with her, which is done in silhouette of just squeaking noises. And during the sex, she's making comments from a sort of dead-eyed face of, yes, don't stop, oh baby, keep going. It's like that, you know, as if she's sort of robotized, pretending to like it. We've all been there. He then tries to strike up a conversation with her. And she just keeps asking him if he wants to do it again. Would you like to go again? She just keeps asking him. And then at one point she says he's having sex with her. She sort of pushes him into it again. He's having sex with her again. And he says, she says, flaccid penis detected. which is not a phrase I've heard during sex, but, you know, could have possibly. And during the middle of one of the sexual encounters, she has to download a new update. So it's clever like that. I'll leave you to work out what happens at the end of it. I don't think I'll spoil the ending of this one. I think this is probably the strongest story just about for me in the book. There's two stories. The other one is about, the second story is about the delivery driver. And it's about, again, a bit about loneliness and, you know, needing human contact and stuff like that. And the second one is about two friends chatting and laughing and bickering over lunch, unaware that maybe perhaps the chemistry is between them and not between the people they're talking about. And something happens at the end of that story and it's got a twist on it. And I thought about this book quite a lot, actually. Joe sent it through to me about a week ago. I think it was last Monday he sent it through to me. And he said that this is the best thing he's done. I find it less personal than the previous stuff he'd done. For example, Stutter, I found quite impactful and had some real heart to it. This is interesting. After I wrote my notes on it, and I had to think about it overnight, the following day I went and looked up some other reviews. And as is the problem, unfortunately, with reviews these days, they were very anodyne and very boring. And they didn't really say much about it. And they didn't cover where I was thinking it was about. And I don't know why, but I think especially on the run up to stuff like Thought Bubble, people rush off reviews. I think we get inundated a bit with books, and maybe I've done it in the past. I'm not aware of it. I'll quite possibly have, but we sort of think, oh, I need to get the review out because they've got their book coming out week. I'll write it up this morning over breakfast or something. I think we rush them out, and I think it needs more care. I think we need to dwell on some things, as I did with this book for a couple of days now. It reminds me a bit of, do you remember the Venditti comic, The Surrogates? Maybe a bit of that, which I think was a movie in the end, wasn't it? Yeah. And then there was also that TV series, which I actually quite enjoyed, which did explore it quite well, called Humans, which was on Channel 4.
Yeah, I watched the first two series of that, but I stopped for some reason.
Yeah, I've just, after this, funny enough, I've dived back into the third series. I was like you, I watched the first couple of the third series and it just sort of fell away. But it does go somewhere in the third series, and they do take it somewhere, and they take it with a sort of a logical twist to it. This is not a book that is wham bam. You know, there's no real action in it. It's not exciting. It's grounded in social commentary and grounded in the personal feelings of the people that you encounter in it. And there's some nice turns of phrases, and there's some emotions on show that are in it. But I don't know. I just felt it didn't go far enough for me. There's some nice ideas in it, and I think okay, he's got a sex robot, and I don't know. Look, this man's lonely and he's got a sex robot and she doesn't understand him. And then he does something. And I'm like, I would have quite happily read 29 pages of that bloke and that robot. And I don't think he took it far enough. The second story wasn't enough for me. And the third story I thought had a really good twist to it. and some absolutely great dialogue. I think the dialogue between the two friends in the restaurant came across really well, and the twist I didn't see coming, which is always a great sign of a story. I think we're so cynical now. We always see, you know, like Tharg's Future Shocks or Terror Tales or something. We kind of guess the ending, don't we? It's like,
yeah.
But the beauty of stuff like that and The Twilight Zone and House of Secrets and House of Mystery is we don't see it coming. And I think I didn't see that one coming at all. I thought it was quite interesting. I kind of forgotten that was kind of a theme of it, which I won't ruin it for you. But I don't know. I just found it a little safe, I suppose. I just
kind of like you, Tony. I kind of like, if you're going to do something, fucking do it. Go, like,
yeah.
You got to commit and commit
do
to
it,
your premise. And
do it.
Come on.
I'm here.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. There's so many themes you can explore with it. There's so many yearnings, and this guy. He's basically bought himself a talking sex slave who's a robot, and there was more to it than that. I felt a bit cheated by the end of his thing, and I think he plays it a little safe. I think Joe, I like Joe, and I think he's a really interesting creator, but I think this should have taken more chances. Maybe it's just my taste in things. Maybe people like this quietly told, you know, gently funny at moments story in vignettes, but it just it wasn't enough for me. It's not bad. I'd probably buy it still. I think if I hadn't seen it, and I would buy it because I like the art and I like the gentleness of it. But go for it more, man. That first story that had so many possibilities that were playing about in my head as I was reading it, and then I went, oh, it's ended. Perhaps because I didn't realize it was going to be three stories. If I'd have known it was going to be three stories in 29 pages, I would have expected something quicker. But yeah, it's not bad, and that's a neither a damning nor a praising review of it. I think it's good in some places and bad in others, in my opinion, in my personal opinion. But yeah, that's it. So it's called. Where can you find him? You can find him at joe-stone.co.uk. You can follow him at joe_stone on Twitter. Like I say, it's going to be released, I think, Thursday or Friday this week, so you can get hold of it then. There you go.
Right, what's your next one then, Dan?
Cannibal XXX, written, drawn, and colored by PJ Johnson.
Yeah.
I saw this commented on by Damien Edwards.
He sent me a message about it this week, actually. No, it wasn't. Yeah. Gary Hill. Gary Hill, we mentioned. Gary Hill. Yeah, yeah.
And that was bloody hell. This looks like special. So it's produced by a company called Beat the Demon Comics, and their subheading is horror porn at its best. So I thought I'll go in on this. And it's fucking something. It's not the kind of comic I would like pick up again, like we were talking earlier, the itch to scratch.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I'd give it a go. But basically, it's a callback to those old kind of B movies, where in this one, like, there's a porn film director, and he's kind of getting a bit jaded with it, and he's got the porn star wife, and they want to try something different, so they try and go to this remote island and film on location. Unfortunately, the island plays host to cannibals, and there's cannibalism and XXX in large helpings throughout. So it's definitely not a comic for those that are easily offended in it.
It's got a sort of underground look to it, isn't it? It's not
definitely.
It's
very kind of underground. The kind of thing you would never see in a shop. Maybe a tattoo shop. But it's got like that underground kind of comics feel, very kind of scratchy, but very accomplished at the same time. I can't sort of knock Paul. And I think he's carved out a little niche for himself here, and he does have an audience and a readership and a following. So it knows exactly what it is, what it's doing, and it has a fun time with it. But not for all. I have to find the contact details because there's nothing on there that indicates where you can get it from. And I only got it through him because I knew.
You found it on some railway siding.
Yeah, I was about to say. And a dirty paper bag.
Shared it. And I was like, oh, there we go.
Found it in the loos at a truck stop on the highway.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way. I like that. I like the comics of market like that. You think, fucking hell, where did I get that from? Yeah.
While I was being pushed over the sink. I was like, oh, what's this?
Oh, my God.
I was roofied in a head shop and I woke up with this in my pocket. Yeah.
Jesus. Jesus.
That's the humor you like. Go.
Yeah. And, it's all about audiences. It's all about knowing your audience with anything. Humor, comics, music, whatever.
That was one thing I'd say as well. Like, if you make a comic for everyone, you're making a comic for no one.
Good point, man. Love that. Yep.
Oh, you're deep, aren't you?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Guns is bringing it this week.
He is, isn't he? He's on fire.
Maybe I should bring my stuff every week.
Yeah. I mean, you also brought it on social media with one of your most popular posts, and this is something that we'll put a link in the show notes as well. If you ever wanted to make your comic or webcomic into a Netflix series or movie,
there's
a handy PSD file that Dan Butcher put together for people to download, put their own artwork in, customize it themselves, and then post it on
social media, wherever you want. Yeah.
I mean, just before Dan did this, I did see some great ones. I think it was Drugs and Wires and Grenade. There was a couple of really cracking versions of this, which was a great idea. And of course, Dan's done since you've done a Viper one, haven't you?
Yeah, I did a Viper one just to sort of illustrate what you can do with it. I tried to set the template up as simply as possible.
Yeah.
So you can kind of like edit the text, edit the cast, the rating of it, and whatever you want to do.
And naturally, the tweet has got a fair few likes and
retweets. Okay.
And if you want to get hold of it, we'll put a link in the show notes as well for this PSD file. So if you want to do the same with your comics,
great idea. If I knew what a PSD file was, I'd be fine.
We'll take a couple of hours to describe.
It's literally just like for the community and people who make comics, not making anything out of that.
Yeah, it's just a bit of fun.
Yeah, that's
what comics need to be, and hopefully what this show is every week. So we hope you have enjoyed this week's ramble into the world of the Awesome Pod. Once again, if you're new listeners, welcome. Stick with us.
Yeah. I was going to say it gets better. Don't really.
You know, it's just more the same. So you've got this is a good barometer of the absolute trash.
This is why we have to have guests on, because if we have 3 weeks of this, it just degrades into us shouting at each other.
And the guests really make us up our game. In all seriousness, though, we hope you enjoyed it. If there's anything we spoke about on this week's show that you want to maybe hear discussed more, or maybe we got something wrong, or you get in touch with us. There's several different ways to do it. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow the Twitter @theawesomepod, where we will be posting, and posting some more in the lead up to Thought Bubble with, I don't know, marketing for Drink and Draws, Kickstarters, and
Big Cartels.
Big Cartels. Yeah. And there may be some video.
Oh.
You'll just have to.
I've already done my acting role for that one.
Yeah. We're going legit. No, we're not.
I occasionally watch that video you from last year. I like that video.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's kind of inspired this one, doesn't it, really? The idea. And I hope a few more people do it, but we'll talk about that after the fact. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. We've talked about a fantastic community of people that are on Facebook. It's the only reason to go on Facebook, really. Just go on there and join the group Awesome Comics Talk. It's a wonderful group of people that are just there to talk about comics. There's no hard selling or anything. They're just talking about...
We've had a funny week on there. I've got to be honest with you. Can I just interject? I put up a post saying, stop fucking dropping Kickstarters onto it and then legging it. And everyone you go to has never commented on a post. And then Dan very sensibly put up a thing saying, look, just promote your stuff in this thread. And nobody who had previously tried to drop a Kickstarter in there put anything on
there.
Because they don't read the forum. And then we got one today of someone trying to do a post again. So I think, look at the page. There's a place to promote your work. Yeah. Look at it. Yeah.
I try and do those, promote it every 3 or 4 weeks. Like,
that's a good idea.
Let us know what you're selling.
Yeah.
So people, because obviously the people there want to see what other people are creating, but you don't want to see it all the fucking time.
I've got people like, I'm a letterer, I'm a colorist, that sort of thing. If you need a letterer, then they're there. You know, it's good.
Yeah, there's art threads going up all the time. We'll have to put a thread up for the Awesome Drink and Draw as well. So, be sure to join and then post your stuff on there as well, because it's going to be fantastic. Thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe and give us a nice review. We've decided to put a podcast
one for ages.
Yeah, we've got fragile egos because we're putting content out into the ether. So, we're naturally needy and fragile people. So, so please help our egos and just say something nice about us. Batman, you're joking. It does help get the word out about the show and about the comics that more people will discover. We're also on Amazon Music and things like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
We're on Pod Barbara from Edenbridge.
You're going to have to stay tuned to see what that's about. Yeah. Quality, though.
One of my favourites.
Yep. And where can people find us online, etc.? Tony?
Tributepress.bigcartel.com for all your not-safe-for-work comic needs. And look for us on Kickstarter as of Friday. There you go. Thank you.
Nice.
Yes.
Dan Butcher.
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic. You can read Vanguard issue 18 on Comic House this week, and you can back Viper on Kickstarter. I don't think I mentioned Viper so far.
You can back that. That's the first time you mentioned
it.
You can back that on Kickstarter. That ends a week today. Yeah. So back that, and there's Viper on Kickstarter. No.
I hope you make it, Dan, because you haven't mentioned it.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I look forward to seeing you all at the Drink and Draw.
Yes. As do I. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo. And yes, we look forward to seeing you at the Drink and Draw. We look forward to speaking to some of you over the Thought Bubble weekend. We're hugely excited, so look forward to the next few weeks in the finish of 2020. We're going to try and finish strong, or at the very least, very, very entertaining. That's what we'll do. So, and thank you for listening, everyone. We love you. We hope you're all safe, wherever you are, and doing okay. Dan's all right, despite
he's fine.
I mean, we joke about it, but you are all right, aren't you, Dan?
I'm doing all right. Yeah.
He's rich as a lord now with his Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Have I had a chance to mention that?
Teed it up. Yeah. Perfectly.
I don't like talking about awards, but I have won a number of the awards.
Oh dear. Anyway, from Dan, Tony and myself, have a great Thought Bubble week, and stay tuned for more exciting news from the awesome pod and everything that it contains, which is normally better than this, so sorry. And as always, read loads of comics, support independent creators, and as always, what do they do?
Stay awesome.
Be awesome.
Almost there.
Nailed it.
I think we did good there.
Yeah, that do. Well done, lads. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.
Joke about it, but you're all right though, aren't you, Dan?
Oh yeah, fine. Okay. Yeah. I fucking missed my opportunity to mention Viper. That's fine. Yeah.
I did it with the camera to cheer you up. That was.
I know. That was good. Seeing you have like a nervous breakdown live was a particular highlight. just hear you go, and we've also got comics people. What? Oh fuck, bollocks.